All right, we're going to be in Isaiah 55, really verse 9 is where we're going to be at tonight. Last Wednesday night, I preached on how that the Lord's ways and His thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts are. Tonight will be as the heavens are higher. So verse number 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." So I want us to think about the fact there that it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts and your thoughts. It's not just simply that God's ways are higher than our ways. It goes even farther than that, and it says, as the heavens are higher. Right? The height of heaven is mentioned once in connection with the purity of God's word, or another time in connection with the purity of God's word. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 4, it asks the question, "Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell?" Then it says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." So we see there the connection between, of course, the living word, which we'll see in the next verse, and also the written word. But God's word is pure. His word is incredibly pure. It's so pure that it's so lifted up as the heavens are above us. It's so much higher than we are. And also there in Romans 10, referring back to this verse, it talks not only about the purity of the living, of the written word, but of the living word of God, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:6 says, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And in John chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." By contrast, we can think about Revelation and where the devil and demons, they're come up out of the bottomless pit. They ascend up to come to man. Their ways are so horrible that the things that we think about men and how evil and destructive and wicked people can be, the devil and his demons are greater in their hatred and their evil and their destruction. So we want to think tonight about how the heavens are higher than the earth, and I just have a few thoughts here and I'd like to bring them out at this passage. And first of all, this: God contrasts that which is near and readily available but also is imperfect with that which is heavenly and perfect. See, our ways are close to us. They are like tools where they're always readily accessible. But they're not very good tools. Even though they're close to us, even though our thoughts and our ways are close to us, it doesn't mean that they're the best thoughts, the best ways. People often rely upon them. "Well, that's what I think. That's what I believe. That's what I trust in." Those are the things that are very close to them. But God's ways, which are high and lifted up so far above us as to be heavenly, those ways are perfect. And God tells us there, as we read there in Proverbs chapter 30, "Every word of God is pure. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." God's way and his word and his thoughts and everything that comes forth of him is perfection in all its ways. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible mentions, as we read there in Romans chapter 10 and then in John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is holy and he is perfect in every way, sinless in every way. Perfection always comes from the heavenly things, the things that are far away, not from those things which are readily available. Now, number two, just because something is closer does not mean that it is best. Living in your own thoughts and ways is easier, but it's not best, is it? We sit back and we say, well, I know what I'm going to think about. I know what I'm going to do, and I know, and no one's going to tell me what to do. But that doesn't mean you have the best way. God's ways are always best. Do you know the Bible tells us there, Job tells us that the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away? But you know what the next phrase is? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know, we have got to remember that, don't we? What that means is, God may give us increase sometimes, and sometimes God gives us decrease, but God is always blessed. He's always worthy of praise. He's always holy. He's always great. The Lord's never worried about those things. You know, even when the wicked come down here on this earth, and they can terrify us, or try to, the wicked come down here, and they cause Christians to disperse, as they've done in the book of Acts and other places. The Lord says there that he laughs at them. He has them in derision. They look at themselves as being so well organized. I thought it funny that yesterday they caught one of the Antifa people that was a leader. He had a flamethrower and smoke bombs and things like that. They caught him. The police put out a statement. They said he went into a fetal position and cried like a baby when we arrested him. He had pimple-faced little teenager. Lives in his mom's basement. That's what he's looked like. That's what he acts like. Shame on him. You know, there he is. He thinks he's a real man, and he doesn't even understand what manliness is all about. There's people going out there today, and they're mocking God, and they think they're so smart. They don't even know what smart's all about. Our God is smart. He's got the best ways. His ways are holy. Number three, the closer is easier to examine, but it's not as completely seen. And I want you to think about this. I was just thinking about this morning, that no matter where you are on the earth, the vast expanse of heaven is more visible than where you're at on the earth. A matter of fact, me, I've only seen just a few hundred miles of the earth in my entire life. But I've seen trillions of miles of the heavens. I can't see all the earth, and the earth is very small compared to stars, compared to the sun. The earth is very small. If you've ever seen a picture of the sun before, it's huge in comparison to the earth. But yet the sun looks so much smaller in the sky, doesn't it, because it's farther away. But you know what? Every single day, we see a half the sun, but we only see just a little bit of space of the earth. Some days you don't even leave your house, and all you see is that few little acres right around you. Right? Do you know that we see our ways? Because our ways are closer to us. And we see our thoughts because they're closer to us. And yet, because we can examine them, you see, we can see every little imperfection in our ways, can't we? Just like we can see every imperfection in our yard. You walk around your yard, you're going to find the weeds, you're going to find the rocks, you're going to find the ants, the bugs. You're going to find all those things because you see it's closer. If anyone asked you today, do you see an ant on the moon? Of course, there's no ants on the moon, but do you see an ant in the moon? You'd say, I can't see that far away. You see, we cannot examine the ways of God as closely as we examine our own ways, but you know what? We get to see more of the ways of God. I think it's strange today, think about it, that you know nothing about what's going to happen tomorrow in your life. You don't know if you're going to live. You don't know if you're going to die. You don't know what's going to happen in our nation. We don't know what's going to happen in a month from now. We don't know what's going to happen in a year from now. But we know what's going to happen in eternity. Fanny Crosby couldn't see, but she wrote that song, the poem there, I Shall Know Him. You see, she saw past in her mind. She saw past the time of her blindness. And she saw past the few years that God would give her on the earth. And she knew that one day she would stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and she'd have her eyesight. And she knew that when he opened her eyes, she would know him and listen for all eternity. See, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and that's what bothers us. But we do know what's going to happen in eternity. And eternity is a lot bigger than that little parcel of ground that we oftentimes live in. The closer is easier to examine. but it's not as completely seen. Thanks to God, we know. We see all these futuristic things. We don't know every little thing about heaven, but we know about heaven. That's amazing, isn't it? That God would open up and reveal to us things about the future. We don't know everything about angels, but we know a few things about angels. We don't know everything about what we shall be, but we know where we shall be, and we know with whom we shall be. We know our God. And so those things that are open to us, those are what we ought to pay attention to. Number four, that which you can touch is limited, but that which you can see is vast, abundant, and unlimited. Now, for instance, think about this. How much money could you make if you, and how much money do you have, I should say, on the parcel of ground that you own? You have a house, you know, you have a car, you have possessions in that parcel of land. You could grow some things, sell them. Maybe you could find some vines and make you some wreaths and sell those. You could cut down some trees and carve them out and you could make a little bit of money off of the land that you have. But think about this. Think about what you see. Do you realize, for instance, that they are actually seriously talking about sending a space probe out to catch an asteroid to mine it? They say on one asteroid, there are trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of metal and materials on one asteroid that just passes by the Earth. And they say if we could just simply land a probe on there and mine those materials and bring them back to Earth, we would be ridiculously wealthy. Now, that's just one asteroid. Imagine all of the gases and the solids and everything that's out in the universe today that we see. Do you realize how abundant the universe is? We sit there and say, well, look at that, I've got gold. But God has showed to us, even though we can't see every individual bit and sparkle and molecule of it, do you realize God's got gold scattered all throughout the universe? And when you see that sparkling in the sky, I mean, you're seeing diamonds and everything else. There's no telling what all you're seeing in the heavens. And God has put something out there that's abundant. See, we sit back in our lives sometimes and we worry. Maybe you don't worry. We know Miss Julie does. No, we all worry about things. See, because we focus on this little bit of parcel and we have such limited resources. We have limited wealth. We have limited wisdom. We have limited talents. Do you know, if I had ever worried so much so about the limited, I wouldn't be a preacher today. Because I'm limited. I would have quit a long time ago. Because I'm limited. You know, you sit back and realize maybe that we don't have employees here at church that have to get paid, that I have to worry about. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm concerned because I want to make sure the missionaries get paid. You know, there's a lot of mouths we have to feed. But you know what? I told a preacher this. I told several preachers this. But I told him, I said, I'm so glad that I'm not responsible for taking care of all the missionaries. You say, who is? I know. The people in church are responsible for taking care of the missionaries. No. You're just simply used of God. See, God is responsible for taking care of them. And he just allows you to be a part of that. You say, but preacher, I don't have enough to be able to do. You know what? God does. He doesn't expect you to do everything. He just expects you to do what he wants you to do. We have to realize this, that God has given us a small, limited place, but from that limited place, we can observe, if we'll look up, we can observe the abundance of God. I'm not talking about the stars and the moon for right now. I'm talking about the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. See, the devil, he has influenced governments and powers. He's very wicked. And he is in high places. But God's higher. See, the devil may think he's high up there. He's the prince and the power of the air. but our Lord sits on a throne in heaven. And he's never left it. He's never been chased off of it, and he's never been scared. And you know, when it comes time, the devil may be able to withstand the angels. We know he has. In Daniel, the Bible talks about that. But there's one thing the Bible tells us, doesn't it? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, he slays them with the sword of his mouth. Our Lord only has to speak a word, and it is done. And all the power that's needed to bind the devil and to put him in prison is there. You know, that ought to make us realize that there's greater power in us as believers than there is in the devil. There's more abundant treasures there, scattered around in the heavenly principles of God's word, than there are in the earthly traps of man. Our God has opened up and revealed to us just a mere speck of his abundance. There are, for instance, stars in the sky that we can only see in the northern hemisphere that can't be seen from the southern hemisphere. And there are stars in the sky in the southern hemisphere that will never be seen in the northern hemisphere. The Lord has revealed only a tiny bit of heaven to us here on earth. I tell you what, God is abundantly rich. Matter of fact, if you take and you could shoot a rocket out today and you could go out into space and you go out as far as the eye can possibly see stars from earth, if you looked out there, you would see stars as far as your eye could see. God put so many stars out in the universe that we, with our most powerful microscope, most powerful telescopes, cannot even see those stars. That speaks of the greatness of God. I look and I see space as being vast, and God says, "You have no idea." Let us look tonight at the wisdom of God and say, "Oh, it is vast." Or the wealth of God and say, "Oh, it's vast." And God can look back at us and say, "You have no idea." Our Lord is incredibly abundant and unlimited in his power. Number five, we rely on that which is distant for our state of being. For instance, the sun and the moon keep us in proper orbit. If we didn't have the sun, we'd be in trouble pretty quickly. If we didn't have the moon, we'd be in trouble pretty quickly. Okay, and think about the all the beneficial things we can use the sun for. For instance, now they have solar panels and they catch the sun's light, turn it into electricity. And they have fans, and you can run all sorts of different things off of the sun. But yet, even in that, all that light that comes to the earth, and we only use a small portion of it. God's wisdom's like that. It's vast. It's so vast. And yet we only take in a little bit of his light. You know, it's amazing to me how we have the Word of God in front of us, and we only understand a small portion of it. And sadly, a lot of believers only try to understand a small portion of it. They live off of the verse-a-day club. Someone pops a verse up on their phone, they read the verse, and they figure they're done for the day. They never go and dig deeper. They never try to retain more. They just want a sprinkle. Some people don't believe in baptism by immersion. They believe in sprinkling, right? They take a little bit of water and they sprinkle it there. Until Brother Curtis got married, he believed in showers by sprinkling. Just Mrs. Curtis said those famous words to him, "I wants me a clean man." Okay? He takes a shower now. Sometimes with a pressure washer. You know? Whatever it takes to get the dirt off. Listen, why have the Word of God there and not just bathe ourselves in the Word of God? Why not let it just pour down upon us? Some people are going out there and they just take their finger in the Bible and they're just dipping it in and they just sprinkle a little bit and say, "Oh, look at me. Look how deep it is. Look how deep I am. Look how wonderful the Word of God is. Listen, we ought to understand that the Word of God is what keeps us in proper orbit in our spiritual life. We need it. We need closeness to the Word of God. We need to absorb as much of it as we possibly can. Number six, the height of God's Word is unattainable. If we had God's Word out there, we wouldn't be able to understand it. A matter of fact, unbelievers can't understand it because they don't have the Holy Spirit. But verse number 10 says something to us. It says, as the rain cometh down. See, God's Word comes down and touches the hearts and souls of humanity. That's that whosoever will. The Bible says the Word of God goes forth. It is sent from God. Wouldn't it be a sad thing today if we didn't have anything to restrain our atmosphere, and every time the sun evaporated water and it just went up and it kept going up into outer space and it left the earth? But see, no water ever leaves the earth. So, folks, when you hear people go out there and they say, we're going to run out of water, they are IDIOTSs. Okay? Because no water ever leaves the earth. We have plenty of water. Okay? All it has to do is get filtered and reprocessed and come back again. Even in Louisiana, they don't have water. What are they doing? They're drinking rainwater. They're putting receptacles there. They don't have good clean water. I should say they have water. There's ways, by the way, of taking dirty water and making it clean. There's ways of doing it there. They can distill it. So they don't have power. You can distill water without power. People have been doing this all around the earth for a long time. They use banana leaves, a bucket of water, they put a banana leaf over it with a cup, and they distill their own drinking water out in the middle of nowhere. You can distill water without having power. See, God has given us all the water we need. There's plenty. How do I know there's plenty of water on the earth? Okay, go 100 miles either direction. You're going to find water. Lots of it. So much so, you won't need. And you say, well, it's salty. We can't drink it. You can take the salt out of it just by distilling it. Again, we have plenty of water. We haven't even had to reach in and to tap all of those resources. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If God allowed that water to leave the earth, we would be in trouble because we would run out of water. But God's kept the water here. See, the rain goes up. Okay? You say, I've never seen rain go up before. How does the rain go up? It goes up as a gas, doesn't it? And then when it gets up there, eventually the atmosphere gets saturated with water, and it rains. And it comes down as a liquid, doesn't it? Unless you're up north and it comes down as a solid. In which case, I feel sorry for those people. But you know, it comes down as a liquid. And the rain comes down and it blesses us. Now think about this. Our prayers go up. You know, no one can see your prayers. No one can see your broken heart. But God can. It's all invisible. But it never simply just goes up there and is worthless and wasted. God even says he saves our prayers in vials in heaven, and one day they're going to be let loose as a great odor. Wonderful smell. But God hears our prayers, and he sends forth rain. You know what's wonderful is that evaporation is invisible, but the rain is visible and it's effective. God's word is visible and it is effective. And it's sent forth from God and it accomplishes that work that comes forth straight from him. You know, we have that phrase, get it straight from the horse's mouth. Isn't it wonderful when you can hear it from the top? God said this. God said that. You know, how many times in the Bible does it say, thus saith the Lord? Isn't it wonderful that even though God's word would be unattainable to us, the God of heaven has made it come down to us? I'm not just talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word of God, but I mean the written word of God too. Some people are so careless with the word of God. They don't even treasure it and think it's precious. But oh, it's so precious. Number seven, last thing. What a blessing it is to have even a portion of that matchless wealth of God's wisdom, His thoughts, His ways, come down to us. We do not understand all the reasons of why. You know, isn't it interesting, the last chapters there of Job, that God asked Job a bunch of questions that Job can't answer, and Job comes to this realization that you're God and I'm not. And we have a lot of questions in life. We want to know why. What are you going to do about it? And you know, we need to come to the wonderful realization, I'm so glad that God's got to figure out the way and not me. I'm so glad that this is God's thought because it's too deep for me to comprehend. See, we need to understand, just like Job, we may have the questions, but we do not have the answers. God didn't answer any of Job's questions. He just brought Job to a point where Job said, you know what, Lord? You're God, and I'm not, and I'm sorry. I tried to be in your place, and that's not what you want me to be. You know, today, God's ways, His thoughts, are higher than our thoughts and our ways. But they are as the heavens are above the earth. They are so high and so unattainable. But by God's wonderful blessing, He's given us even just a portion of that. Thank God for the wisdom that He gave you. Back for me, it was March 23rd, 1985, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Smartest decision I ever made. What a wonderful blessing it is to be able to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And God has given me blessings along the way, and I've sat back and I said, Lord, I don't know why you keep accepting me. Why does God keep putting up with us? Aren't you glad tonight, though, that God, through His infinite wisdom, His matchless power, He chose such a weak vessel as you and I, and He keeps using us? We don't deserve it, but we are thankful for what God has done. I pray tonight that you will just come there and say, thank you, Lord, for revealing just a portion of your matchless wisdom. You know, God's Word, we don't understand all of God's Word, but do you realize that God's Word is just a portion of His wisdom? He's got so much more beyond the pages of the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. We ought to appreciate what God has shown us. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.